we'll go ahead and move on to the question and answer session and start with the questions that have been posted online. I'm actually going to bring back the slide with the web addresses and just leave that up for a while. I'm just going to start off at the top of the questions and go on down, and we'll see how far we get. If we don't get through all of them, we will have the presenters answer them via email. I don't know if you want to comment on this. There's no reference in all of the presentations to Pacific Coast Mexican ports, roads, and Kansas City rail to Texas bypassing Southern California.
Well, I guess I can say, well, the one thing I can say quickly about that is one of the new additions in FAF 3 is the use of Canadian and Mexican transshipment data. That is trade that's coming to and from the United States from other countries, but going through Canada and Mexico. That's actually a brand new source that we were able to get from the Foreign Trade Division at Census Bureau. So actually, freight that is doing that is included in FAF. What you'll see is rail shipments to Southeast Asia going through Texas, and that's exactly what that is. Those are shipments that are being transshipped through Canada and Mexico. So that is included.
Okay, and also Max, there was no reference in your presentation to modal shift of greater than 300 mile trucks to rail.
There is no. I didn't understand this question. I'll appreciate if you can elaborate this question, because there is no modal shift as a part of this assignment process. So I'll be appreciate if you just elaborate this question.
Mike, maybe we can revisit that one at the end then. Move on to this one.
Sure. Next question is, both UP and BNSF have or soon will have near dock rail loading in LA. Will trucks to rail transfers be counted as trucking or rail, or maybe a new category such as piggybacking?
Well, for where we capture and estimate these rail to truck transfers, those are actually will end up in what we call multiple modes and mail. But if things are being loaded from a vessel directly to rail, I'll also point out, as Diane did, that the PIERS data we used this time had a unique feature where they did a matching with a railway bill for individual containers, and we captured a much larger percentage of the domestic leg of rail movements from waterborne international.
The next question is for Diane. How are the 2040 forecasts developed, and are forecasts available for the interim years like FAF 2?
Why don't I take that, actually? The forecasts were similar to what was done in FAF 2, were developed by Global Insight using their regional commodity-specific forecast models. And I'm not going to get into all the details now. I wish we had time to cover that in this Talking Freight session, but unfortunately there wasn't. But I'll just say that the documentation on all the specific methods and procedures will be available on our website shortly after we release the data next week.
And when will the commodity forecast be available?
And that would be next week. We have a press release scheduled for next Thursday, and that's when all of this FAF 3.1 data will be made public.
What is included in the multiple modes and mail category, and what kinds of intermodal modes are included?
Basically, the multiple modes category includes anything that moved by more than one mode for the domestic leg of the journey, as well as mail shipments that were reported.
Can you please elaborate a little bit more on what is captured in the no domestic mode category?
Basically, the no domestic mode is imports, it's specifically imports of crude petroleum coming in by vessel that were offloaded directly at a refinery. So there is actually no physical move, no domestic move of these. So they'll show up as an import, but there is no domestic mode because it didn't travel domestically, and that was really the only way we could do it. Initially, we had those by water, moving domestically by water, but that really didn't make sense. And to put it by pipeline skewed the pipe, wherever we put it skewed the tonnage numbers for what really is no domestic move. And what we ended up with was the no domestic mode category.
Can we get out of scope flows at county geography?
Not from the FAF. If you, I guess I'll defer to the experts at Oak Ridge who put together the county, put together the out of scope data. FAF is not, we have no plans to release any of the FAF data at a county level. But that's not to say that some of our source information isn't available at a county level, and you could go to directly and But of course it would limit the comparability with FAF, and I'll see if anyone at Oak Ridge has a comment on that.
Okay, this is Helene from Oak Ridge. Basically, for example, Diane gave for the example of the farm base. Farm base estimate is basically based on USDA 2007 agriculture census data. That data is published at state level as well as county level, even though county level has a little bit similar to all the other, like CFS or other survey data. Some of those were suppressed due to disclosure or other things, so you have to have special treatment for those. So at those data level, depends on what type of commodity you're interested in, some of them, they do come at the county level. But other data set, they are provided, could be just at state level, like the transporter data set that we have. They are at the destination of the state or at the, for the export, it's the origin of the state. And so from state going down to the FAF zone, what we have done is basically use county business pattern for that particular application. So it really depends on the sources. But like Mike said, on the FAF, there's no plan basically for the county level because, you know, the limitation of other data.
Thanks, Ho-Ling. And I see that the next question is asking for flows based at the zip code level, and I think we can infer that we're not releasing county level. That zip code is far beyond anything we could possibly do with FAF. You know, and I'll just reiterate that the FAF is intended to be to offer a national picture of regional flows, and was never designed to provide that level of detail for the zip code geography or even county.
You already answered how the 2040 forecasts were generated.
Mm-hmm.
Have any comparisons been performed between FAF 3 and previous FAF 2 forecasts?
Certainly. That was a part of the review process. More so comparing the changes in the growth rates more so than the actual numbers, because as I pointed out, the FAF 2 numbers and the FAF 3 numbers are really not directly comparable. Without the final report from Global Insight, though, I can't say in complete detail all of the changes, but it's obvious that there's been a big difference in the optimism of the forecast versus what was calculated for the 2002 data. Of course, we've had the dip for the last 2 years that appears to be returning to growth for 2010, but the long-range forecasts are certainly a bit more conservative than the FAF 2 forecasts were.
Will the assignment methodology documentation be available online when everything is released next week?
They will be available on the website, but not for next week. The documentation has to go through the our 508 compliance and preparation for the website, whereas the
January, February 2011.
We'll be looking at early next year for that. Of course, I mean, if you have specific questions on that, please feel free, though, to contact us, and we can answer them on a case-by-case basis before that.
Max, in task two, where did the state traffic flow and truck percentages at state boundaries come from?
We use two sources. Main source was HPMS. Also, there is a source, in any cases where there is a questionable data, we normally try to get the state truck flow map, traffic flow database. They have a published books, and we go through those books and try to solve the problem if the data is questionable from the HPMS. But mostly it comes from the HPMS database and the Vitris database, which is a database, OA in motion database maintained by the Office of Policy.
Okay. What assumptions or adjustments were made to the model to account for the economic downturn since 2007 in order to make future forecasts into 2040?
Well, in some ways we were lucky that the data collection year of the commodity flow survey was 2007, so it was largely undisrupted by the downturn in 2008 and 2009. Now, of course, that did need to be taken into account for the forecasts, which have been accounted for in the regional commodity forecast models that Global Insight uses.
Are the 4609 loading nodes and centroids identified in the FAF3 network? They weren't identified in FAF2.
They will not be identified specifically because they're all virtual, but it will be, most of the time we may release as a cluster that for a certain area that many node is. This is because of the, if you refine more, the same reason you cannot release the data for county to county.
Right.
Disclosure things. But we definitely, there will be map showing where those nodes are. So if you want to use that one, you can eyeball and use those one as a part of your particular assignment.
Diane, what local data sources would you suggest using to supplement the FAF3 data? I'm especially curious about waste, service, and similar movements.
Well, I think as Mike has explained, this primarily a regional database. We look at national, state, and regional data sets to construct the FAF, but I can, as far as municipal solid waste, there are two state-level data sets that were helpful. One's published by Franklin Associates, and the other is called the BioCycle publication, and that's a survey of state waste management agencies. I suggest that maybe you could go to some of these state sources and see if they drill down to any more specific level for your particular need.
Yeah, and thanks, Diane. I'll also add that there is a project underway through the National Cooperative Freight Research Program managed at TRB specifically to address this, the title of it is close to, if not exactly, development of local commodity flow data. Work on that is underway right now, and short of saying that you may need to do your own data collection, or rely on existing sources. It's kind of specific to what your needs are. Thanks.
Okay, we'll go on. Just want to mention questions that are directed toward a specific region or area. We'll, we can address those offline. We want to focus on more of the broad general questions now. So the next question is, in the network assignment, do you include any empty truck movement?
Yes, and the empty truck is based on the estimated based on the commodity type, truck type, and the original source of this estimate is from the Bhai US data analysis. There is a backhaul also included as a part of the loaded truck.
Is the county-to-county OD matrix, which was in slide 10 of Max's presentation, produced using the same methods that were used in FAF 2?
No, this time we have not used county-to-county method. We used some virtual node, and the disaggregation, proportional disaggregation, is based on the 18,000 warehouse and trucking warehouse location plus node specific surrounding link specific VMT, truck VMT, also plus county business pattern. This warehouse distribution database is available in a cluster way through the FHWA.
Correct. And those procedures will be described in the documentation.
Yes.
Can you briefly touch on how couriers such as FedEx or UPS are classified in terms of both mode and commodity?
Well, as far as the commodity flow survey goes, which I'll just address it that way, is that the commodities are reported as what the commodity is, and the mode choice is mail or courier given in commodity flow survey. And we pretty much stick with that, and we put it together with the multiple modes in mail, assuming that they do move by multiple modes. Some of it last time I think ended up in other and unknown, but it seemed more appropriate to us this time to include it with the multiple modes in mail.
Okay. Mike, in the data extraction tool, can you select a particular LAN port of entry?
No. The data extraction tool is limited to the regions that we have in FAF 3. And all imports and exports through individual ports are aggregated to those regions. So certainly if you're looking for import and export data, but at a port level, this is not going to be more specific, and you would end up using some of our source data in those cases.
And can we simply get flows of the trucks, and he clarified later to the trucks' origin destinations? I guess that's in relation to the extraction tool.
Yes, you can do trucks. Each individual mode.
No, you can get the truck flow on the link specific truck.
The link.
Yes,
and that will be in the assignment database.
Yes, it's the trucks.
Okay, this next one there is kind of long. Imports per se are not covered by the commodity flow survey. However, the imported commodities may eventually get partially included in the CFS flows after an initial stop destination within the U.S. For example, if the imported commodity gets sent to a warehouse distribution center for repackaging, then it could get covered by CFS from that point. In the 2007 CFS, areas near and around border crossings and entry ports were oversampled in an attempt to better capture some of the import flows. As the FAF estimates imports, could this lead to some double coverage?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. I think that might have been Bruce Dombrowski. It looks like it's signed at the end. Yes, it certainly could. Unfortunately, that's where we spent a good deal of our time on FAF 3, was trying to eliminate as much of that as possible. But where an import shipment is reported as moving beyond the port to that distribution center, it will show up as an import going to the distribution center and then covered by CFS from there domestically. Of course, that's in a perfect world, and that doesn't always happen. It may get reported as coming in through Laredo and moving to Arkansas, but it actually goes to a distribution center in Texas and then moves to Arkansas, and those, that would be an example of double counting. And we're holding a session at the annual TRB meeting to discuss that, among other issues, how to better address it. I mean, we've pretty much exhausted all sources possible in to get this as right as possible this time. But thank you, though, for bringing that up, because that's certainly a possibility. Now, I should mention, though, that we did use some control totals from the foreign trade data to limit the maximum amount of freight that we show coming in and out. So so that would have corrected for some of that.
Okay, this looks like a recommendation, and this may exist. It would be nice if you, for the data extraction tool, provide users the ability to save their selections from the website to be able to run them again, especially if you're going to update and continually add data.
Okay. Thanks, Nathan.
I think you've pretty much answered this question. Will the website enable analysis at the county level?
No. Nope.
Can we choose a select link and get a through tree of ODs?
Chooses.
No, you can only get the volume for the specific link,
right.
But you cannot, to do that, you'll need the original OD, which is not releasable. Detail OD.
Can all participants receive notice when next week's announcements are made? Most definitely, I think something will be sent through the freight planning listserv. I just realized I don't have the address shown on the screen, but I can type in the link to that. But I can also send, whenever I see the announcement, I can send something out to everybody who attended today.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Is there a commodity to industry and industry to commodity table available?
Yeah.
There are some work being done actually based on the 2002 data, and 2008 data do actually including the industry sending the commodity. So that actually we always actually have the shipper side that actually in the industry shipping out what kind of commodity, but actually we really don't know which industry actually received the commodity. So there's one way that you can get a better picture is actually go through the input-output model actually prepared by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, so that in some way that you can infer to which commodity actually is going to what industry. But right now, there's no data published. And
Are you using or plan to use electronic freight manifest data as opposed to or complement survey method to keep the model updated?
I guess what I would say for that is at whatever point some of that information becomes available to us, we would look into incorporating it in our provisional updates. However, the likelihood of that happening before we probably get to a FAF4 may be unlikely, but obviously an electronic manifest is available now, but it's getting access to it and the ability to publicly release it at the level we want to. So those are issues that will be looked into, but I couldn't say yes or no whether that's going to happen yet.
Can you point us to more information and background on the allocation to the 4609 assignment points?
We started with all the border crossing. US-Canada is 1 point. All the domestic port is 1 point, can be a point. All the intermodal facilities that are recognized intermodal facilities has a freight connector is a one assignment point. And rest of the is coming from the 18,000 warehouse distribution center, which are which is a group of cluster. We did a special interaction model where to identify a cluster which can serve within the 7 miles from a given centroid. So that's our approach. And also we want to make sure that if any urban area where flow is not reasonably smooth, then we add additional point based on the country business pattern density.
Can we get the truck flow and truck percent data at state boundaries for all the states?
Yes, that will be part of the link specific flow, as Mike mentioned. When we it will be similar to FAB 2. It will be submitted as a ESRI shape file or Transcad file, and that file will have the truck percentage, state truck traffic, as well as the FAB truck traffic.
Can I find out the estimated commodity trips on a particular highway versus another highway in my state between two surrounding states, or total commodities per highway between those states and for particular commodities?
Yes, but we have to do special analysis for that.
Well, the file that we're going to release
in 2011.
Will allow that.
Yes, 2011, yeah. That we're going to release. It will give you, Mike, you want to take that one? Through traffic.
Well, I think what they're asking is analysis of specific highways, maybe within a state versus another state. And right now in FAF 2, that could be done from the...
Yes, this will be done too, but it has to become as a special analysis through you.
Right. That file will not be released next week, but we plan to early next year.
We have four questions left, so let's just see if we can just move through those quickly. We might run a minute or two over. Is there any method to determine freight movements through states?
Well, we're going to be doing an analysis of that. That's going to be what we'll call FAF 3.1 plus. We'll be doing a ton mile analysis and releasing ton mile tonnage and tonnage estimates for to, from, within, and through totals for each of the states.
Yes, and it was similar way, if you're familiar with the FAB 2, exactly similar way done. These are the special analyses that you have to do. It takes time, so it not be coming in place before next year.
Are the empty truck movements separately enumerated on the assigned network file?
No, the empty truck is added to the loaded truck before the assignment is done. So assignment process, when the assignment is done, passenger truck traffic, loaded empty truck traffic, loaded truck traffic, all are assigned simultaneously at the same time.
Was a specific point location file for warehousing and distribution centers created for use in FAF 3, and is this file available?
There is 18,000, but the original source that was used from the USA info source, there is we have to sign a agreement with them that we cannot release their very specific point location. However, this data is available in a cluster point within a number of warehouse for 3 miles or 4 miles, and that will be released as a part of another project that was done for the FHW, which is called Development Warehouse and Distribution Center. Call Mike and he can help you on that.
Thanks, Max.
How are logistics accounted for in the assignment?
There is no no specific logistic constraint was used for this assignment process, other than the capacity constraint.
Okay. There was a question, I think somebody said they weren't able to hear the answer to. The questions and answers will be documented in the transcript. Why can't we get, and this will be the last question, why can't we get vehicle truck OD flows between regions or in and out of regions rather than just link flow data?
Well, the OD matrix provides exactly that information. That's the that's you can have it between the 131 by 131 regions, and that's available on the website that I demonstrated at the end.
I think the question was, Mike, is the tonnage, not a truck, not the tonnage. Mm-hmm. So, is the question is about tonnage totals. Or truck?
I guess he said he does say truck. I don't know. That's certainly something we'll consider for inclusion in a future version.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think we're gonna close out. Then we're just a minute or two over. Before I do end, I just want to also ask everybody: we are soliciting topic ideas for the 2011 seminars. If you have any ideas for topics or presenters, you can either type them in the chat box here or send me an email. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and thank you to all three presenters. The recording, the presentations, and a transcript will be available within the next few weeks online, and I'll send out an email when they are available. As a reminder, if you're an AICP member and would like to receive 1.5 certification maintenance credits for today, please make sure you're either signed in with your first and last name or type your first and last name into the chat box. And for everybody, please download the evaluation form and send it back to me after you've completed it. The next seminar will be held on November 17th and will be about the Crosstown Improvement Project. And I typed the web address in the chat area that you can go to register for the seminar. And if you haven't done so already, I also encourage you to visit the Freight Planning Listserv. And the listserv is typically how we distribute information about future Talking Freight seminars. So with that, we'll close out, and thank you, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day.